Today on Real Radio.
Now listen to this. This kind of blows my mind. The Holy Spirit is an eyewitness to all sin and all wickedness at all times. You need to think about this for a minute. Aren't you and I grieved by the evil and wickedness that we see in the world? I mean, aren't you sick of it? Don't you throw your hands up sometimes in disgust and just, if you could do something, you would do it? Evil, evil, evil. Don't you hate it when some evil comes to you or to your husband or to your wife or to your children? Don't you hate it? You know who hates it infinitely more? The Holy Spirit. Jesus lived 33 and a quarter years on this planet. He ascended into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and filled and came upon all the believers. And the Holy Spirit is all in all the earth, convicting the world of sin right now, everywhere.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? And we're in a mini-series called Why Should I Be a Witness? Now, so far, we've answered the first part of the question, but now we're exploring the ways in which we can be that witness. Scripture is replete with examples of how we can bring attention to our Creator, giving Him the credit for changing our lives, atoning for our sin and everything else. In fact, those alone are reasons for being a witness for the Messiah. Let's continue with Why Should I Be a Witness? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Man, I can be a witness. I don't have to go to Stuttgart. You get to. I don't have to go to Cabo. You get to. I don't have to go to Norco or El Segundo. Can you imagine? But we get to, because Jesus says, go ye therefore. He's a commander saying, listen, go. I've given you all that's necessary. There is a kingdom, a nation. There is a God behind you, and He sends you out. That is a great, exciting thing to me. How can we do that? Because of the Bible. Also this, the Father is a witness to the prophets. By this I mean the Old Testament prophets, particularly in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy, that is the revelation of God's word, never came by the will of man. Oh, jot this down when somebody attacks the validity of the Bible. Give them 2 Peter 1:21. Prophecy, that is the word of God, never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were possessed. The Holy Spirit breathed through them. There were things that the authors of the Bible were writing that they didn't even understand. And now we know thousands of millennia later, here we are, or millennia later, here we are, and we know that from prophetic fulfillment, the Word of God. It's fantastic. God confirmed the witness through the prophets of old. Keep that in mind. Thirdly, the Father is a witness to Jesus Christ Himself. The Father confirmed the life and the ministry of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jot these verses down. You'll need them for the next time someone visits your door. Jesus is Lord. Write it down. Jesus is Lord. The Bible says there's only one Lord. Well, the Father calls Himself Lord. The Holy Spirit's Lord. And the Bible says Jesus is Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, the spiritual realm of darkness, demonic powers. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Jesus is Savior. The witness of the Father is to promote and to exalt his son. The psalmist wrote, King David wrote in prophetic knowledge, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." The Father spoke to the Son in eternity and said, "Sit here and I will make all those who are against you to someday become the very platform for you to rest your foot on." The Lord said to my Lord. What a great statement. Jesus is Savior. Titus 2:13, that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's God? Jesus Christ. Who's Savior? Jesus Christ. Who says? Titus 2:13. The Bible. Jesus is Redeemer. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. That means God is Redeemer. But who is the Redeemer? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is our Redeemer, for he has redeemed us from the curse of the law and of all sin. Jesus is Redeemer. No wonder why the Father gives witness to the Son. The Bible says that Jesus is Almighty. Somebody's going to say at your door, "Well, there's a couple of Almighties." You can't have a couple of Almighties. Someone's got to be Almighty and someone's got to be Mighty, but you can't be Almighty. Did I just sound like a TV guy right then? I did. That's terrible. Forgive me. Almighty and mighty. There can be mighty based upon whose judgment, I don't know, but there can be mighty things. Nuclear bomb's pretty mighty. But there's only one Almighty according to Scripture. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ, for this is the true God and eternal life." The true God, the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. There is no God but God only. Number four in our study, point number four, why should we be a witness? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a witness. How so? Number one, to sin. The Holy Spirit is a witness to sin. Now listen to this. This kind of blows my mind. The Holy Spirit is an eyewitness to all sin and all wickedness at all times. You need to think about this for a minute. Aren't you and I grieved by the evil and wickedness that we see in the world? I mean, aren't you sick of it? Don't you throw your hands up sometimes in disgust and just, if you could do something, you would do it? Evil, evil, evil. Don't you hate it when some evil comes to you or to your husband or to your wife or to your children? Don't you hate it? You know who hates it infinitely more? The Holy Spirit. Jesus lived 33 and a quarter years on this planet. He ascended into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and filled and came upon all the believers. And the Holy Spirit is all in all the earth, convicting the world of sin right now, everywhere in the world. He is an eyewitness to all evil. Lacey Peterson, the Holy Spirit watched the whole thing, knows every detail, knows even the intent of the heart of whoever her murderer was. We'll find out, I guess, right? What about other horrific evils? The Holy Spirit knows. I tell you, the control of God is amazing. With all he knows and with all he sees, shouldn't he just pull the plug and let this thing die? He doesn't. Isn't he amazing? His goodness? What evil have I done? What evil have you done? Did he pull the plug on us? The Bible says that he's abounding in mercy. Revelation 5, Verse 6, Revelation 5, 6 says, John speaking, I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Here in your Bible, in Revelation 5, it talks about the seven spirits. And by the way, it says seven. And then in your Bible, it's capital S, Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. Well, there's seven Holy Spirits. No, there's one Holy Spirit. The answer, though, to the sevenfold Spirit of God means this, that He knows all. He sees all. The number seven is the number of absolute to God, perfection. Seven. You find the answer to Revelation 5, 6 in Isaiah 11, 2. What are the seven spirits of God? Isaiah 11, verse 2. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that is Christ. Number two, the Spirit of wisdom. Number three, the Spirit of understanding. Number four, the Spirit of counsel. Number five, the Spirit of might. Number six, the Spirit of the knowledge. Number seven, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, culminating or personified in Jesus Christ himself. But the Holy Spirit, here the scripture tells us he knows all, he sees all. There's nothing hidden from him. He has perfect knowledge of all sin, and he's a witness to all the sin of the earth. How disgusting must that be to him? Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a witness to righteousness. And listen, we're to be a witness to sin in a way, and a witness to righteousness, of course. We're to look at the sin in the world and in the righteousness and look at it the way God does. The Holy Spirit is a witness to righteousness. There's not one deed the Holy Spirit will not let go without attention. There's not one thing that you do for God. There's not one act that you do to bring Him glory that the Holy Spirit will let slide. He will bring you a blessing. That's not why we do it, but He blesses. Of righteousness. I'm going to give you some scriptures. Go quickly with me. 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us in our own lives as a church, doesn't He? That when we're doing righteousness for God's glory, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16. For the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is a verse, by the way, in Romans 8:16 of assurance. You should know that you're a Christian and that you're going to heaven. You should know from Romans 8:16 all the benefits that are recorded in Scripture are yours to receive. The Bible demands that you and I know this. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to encourage us in righteousness, Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant us according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Holy Spirit in our inner man, the born-again person of who we are. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. He does that using the Bible. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to remind us. And as we get older, some of us say, come, Holy Spirit, and remind us. Lord, help me to remember. John 14:26 again, at the latter end of the verse. And He will bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15:26. Are you guys okay? Are you with me? John 15:26. Jesus says, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will witness of me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Isn't that great? The Holy Spirit is a witness of righteousness. That means wherever you and I go, we are witnesses of righteousness. We are walking testaments of the righteousness of God. I had a dear brother tell me yesterday that in his earlier years with Jesus, he made a deal. God doesn't make deals, but the Lord let him think he made a deal. And he said, Lord, if you heal my mom of cancer, I will tell people about your great power. I'll tell people of your love. And what did God do? God healed his mom. So he tells people about God's goodness and God's love and God's mercy. That's being a witness of God's righteousness. What has God done in my life? What has God done in your life? What is God doing in our lives? Let's tell the world. What are they going to say to us? Can you imagine this brother walks up and says, excuse me, I just want to tell you right now, many years ago I asked God to heal my mom. He healed my mom. Healed her. I'm telling you right now, God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Have a nice day. What are they going to say to that? Don't tell me that again. What are they going to say? Stupid Christian. They'll probably say that even if you don't say anything. So what are they going to say? See, right there, we are either serving God or we're serving man. Because if we can't tell them, then we are afraid of them more than we are of God. And we value their opinion of us more than we value the opinion of God. And we have no faith. Jesus said this when the apostles were, when the disciples were tiptoeing around, all spooked out about everything. Jesus says, you want to hear something? And this is a tremendous truth. Nobody ever thought about this before. Jesus says, I'm going to tell you something. Don't be afraid of him who can kill you. Don't be afraid of those people. You need to rather be in awe of him who can not only kill you, but send your spirit straight to hell. Think about it. He said, well, that's kind of alarming. Well, but wait. If Osama bin Laden himself showed up and said, look, I've got the bomb. So what? What's he going to do to us? He's going to blow us up. We go to heaven. He just gets us there. You know, God uses Osama to get us there quicker. That's all. Don't be afraid of that. God says, Jesus says, you better have your priorities right. Man can only mess with you. The Father, he holds both the physical and the spiritual in his hands. That's powerful. That's strong. Which leads us to this. The Holy Spirit is a witness to judgment. It is the Holy Spirit himself who plagues the consciousness of man today. It was communicated through a little wooden guy, you know? He wanted to be alive. He had every time he told a lie, his nose grew. Pinocchio. Jiminy Cricket would show up and tell him what's right and what's wrong. Remember that? The whole basis of that is about man's consciousness. Man's struggle with right and wrong, and until he knows what's right, he's dead. He's as good as wood. Ignorant. And the Holy Spirit, he plagues the consciousness of people. You know, all you have to do is show up. I mean, you see the moving of the Holy Spirit upon people. You just remember, I've told you before, after this, you're going to probably go get breakfast. Take your Bible there and just set it right on the table. Good morning, dear waitress. How are you? And I want a cup of coffee and let me see. Scrambled eggs, hash browns. And she's gonna look at the Bible the whole time. What was that? Scrambled coffee? What? It's the Bible. It's amazing how that happens. You don't have to take a Bible to breakfast. You can sit there and she comes up or he comes up. Good morning. How are you? Great, I'm here to take your order. You know what? I'm here to take your order. Why don't you give me something to pray for this week? Really? Yeah. You know what? That is amazing to me because people struggle in their head until they're at peace with God through Christ. They struggle in their head with the existence of God because they know until they come to Christ they're under judgment. They know someday the books will be open. They know it internally. The Holy Spirit says so to them. The Spirit says things like this to them in the consciousness of man. He says things like, what are you thinking about death? He'll shoot a thought into their head. You ever think about life after death? You ever think about the Bible? The Holy Spirit speaks to everybody. What are you thinking about Jesus? And sometimes, church, listen, some of you need to hear this, because maybe your child, your wife, or your husband's running away from God, and it's getting worse. You know what? That's a good sign. Hear me out. Have you been witnessing to your son, and he's running away more? He's getting close.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Why Should I Be a Witness? And we'll continue with the conclusion on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. It's all part of the collection of studies called the Why Should I series, which is available all in one MP3 CD. And you can find out how to get your own copy by visiting realradioactive.org. Now, while you're there, click the button in the middle of the page that takes you to the Southern California Prophecy Conference. The event takes place January the 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, Pastor Jack, the Southern California Prophecy Conference appears to be much more than merely a means to be updated on current events.
Yeah.
It looks like it'll be quite the opportunity to fellowship with other believers from across the U.S. as well as from other countries.
Yes, this is going to be a good time if you think about it, because we're very blessed to be hosting this event here at our facility, and by the grace of God, we'll be able to get everybody in the building. But as you can see by the title, this is the Southern California Prophecy Conference. We're going to have believers from all denominations coming, which I think is very exciting, because, you know, let's be honest, some groups focus too much on prophecy. Some don't speak about it at all. There's something maybe in the middle. The great thing is, as we get this conference going, the people are going to find out that, boy, there's brothers and sisters in Christ, not only around my own community and around the Southland here, but around the world, as the speakers will be representing their own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are coming from various parts of the world. I think of Bridget Gabriel, who was born and raised in Lebanon, who came to faith as a young child there under the persecution and ill treatment that she experienced. And of course, everyone can read her book. That's now a New York Times bestselling book. But I think of Ergun Kaner, who was born and raised in Turkey. And Ergun will be here speaking. And Ergun's a wonderful brother and exciting brother to hear. But I tell you what, Ergun Kaner, who was a Muslim, a Sunni Muslim, came to faith in Jesus Christ in Ohio, who got so into studying Christianity and understood it and was blessed by the Lord Jesus that Ergun Kaner is now president of Liberty University in Virginia.
Wow.
And boy, only Jesus can do something like that in the life of a former Muslim. But, you know, we have probably one of the most famous of our speakers, Waleed Shubat. Waleed Shubat was born and raised in Bethlehem. He was a Palestinian, worked for the PLO, and was a terrorist. And Waleed Shubat, anyone can get his books, or they can listen to him online. I think there's some YouTube locations that host Waleed Shubat. But I've heard Waleed Shubat speak several times. I've had the high honor of speaking with Shubat and listening to him. And he loves the Lord. And to hear and see a life change, this man's going to be representing, if you think about it, representing a life that was born and raised in the Middle East in Islam, and a terrorist who has been won to Christ by the love of God, and now he stands firm.
Okay, well, the place to visit, SoCalProphecyConference.com. We've tried our best to make that one easy to remember, www.SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.